The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we're back. Second half of the show is live. We are taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We have a lot planned in the second half of the show, and let's get right back to the calls. And we have some time for you to get in. And let's check in with Peggy in Tennessee. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi there, Paul.
Hey there.
Where was that last caller from? I didn't catch that. Or do you remember? Or do you pay attention?
He was from Alabama.
Oh, well, you got Paul. I don't know. Maybe you need a weekend to lake fishing or something. It just sounded rough, but it was different. I never couldn't understand what he's trying to say. I really couldn't understand if he was liking it or not
Let me translate it for you. He was objecting to a statement that the guest said earlier that if you build it, they will come, meaning that women's college basketball is about to explode. My interpretation, Peggy, is that he's very negative on the subject. When he realized that he got exposed, he started to unwind a little bit and try to be defensive, and then he tried to act like he didn't say any of that. But I don't want to be the last word on anything. And then when somebody starts interrupting and won't let you finish, I mean, that's how I saw it. It didn't really matter. But that was my final verdict on that call.
Well, yeah, that's I kind of wanted your interpretation of it. I didn't get it. I thought, well, I mean, he must not have ever heard of Pathead Summit and Samequa Holdclaw and, you know, stuff that it's took years to, you know, it's just that maybe had a little bit of lull or something, I think, you know, and it goes through resurgences for a lot of people. Women's basketball's been way, way bigger than men's in Tennessee.
I would agree. I think at UConn until recently, I mean, UConn's won 5 national championships in men's, but they've won 11 in women's. Tennessee has 8 in women's and none in men's. So they haven't even been to a Final Four.
Yeah. Well, it was just a little confusing. So thank you for
Peggy. It's always great to be affirmed by Peggy. I feel a lot better. And again, I may have been too short with the guy, but I kind of saw through it. It wasn't hard to do. I mean, we're not geniuses here, but we do this every day, and there are certain characteristics of a call that indicated what we just got through talking about. Matt is in Kentucky. Hey, Matt. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing? You doing all right?
I am. Thank you for asking, though.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, man, I appreciate everything y'all do on the show. And, man, I call other radio shows with my country accent. They just laugh and hang up on me. But, man, you support my kind of people, and I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you said that because, Matt, I'm on a lot of these shows nationally and regionally, and there is a mindset of most talk show hosts that when I say I mean them, not me. That we are more important than the callers, and the callers don't know it. And the most important thing is to listen to the host bloviate for 4 hours about everything he knows. We have the exact opposite view at this show, as you know, and it means a lot that you would say what you did, because we really, I've given opinions my entire career in the newspaper and on radio and TV, and I don't feel like it's the most important thing I have to do every day is to come in and tell you my thoughts. I'd rather hear yours.
Well, and hey, I tell you something you ain't talked about, though, either. You know what the best part of the Women's Final Four was?
What was that?
That Geno was at home crying on his couch watching all that good ball.
No, that's the smartest thing I've heard all day, Matt. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Joe is up next in Georgia. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you for calling.
I wanted to call you and let you know that I got your book. My conference can beat your conference. I'm chapter 5, and it's an awesome book so far.
Well, thank
reading
you.
About, you have Jim
much.
In there. You have Jim in there. I'm in there. Tammy in there.
And yeah, that book was written about almost 9 years ago, and it mentioned the callers, and a lot of them have not changed. But yeah, that was a fun experience to do. I don't know if I'm overly eager to do it again.
I know the chapter when you're talking about your interviewing Bear Bryant, following him around,
Man.
And it's awesome so far. I'm trying to get through it. I'm on chapter 5.
Well, take your time. There's no urgency to finish that book tonight, based on the fact that nothing has happened in that book in 9 years.
Well, it's time for you to do another one, Paul.
Who was that?
That was my wife.
This is Geraldine the Queen from Georgia.
Oh my goodness. Well, listen, I will say I've thought about it and nearly did, but I just, I mean, the one reason I might is that there is a different audience that was not around 9 years ago. But on the other hand, what's that?
Geraldine, hold on, Paul. Paul, you and Laura need to do a book.
Now, hold on a second, Geraldine. You may have just come up with the a bestseller right there.
I think so.
She loves Laura.
Geraldine, I don't know if you saw the show we had last fall, where I threatened to do an expose on her, and she turned around and said, "Well, I'm going to do one on you."
Yes, I did. We loved it.
And I came to the very distinct and astute conclusion that the public would be far more interested in an expose on her than me.
Well, yeah, I have to agree.
I love you, Paul. But you know, that book is awesome. And I just want to mention one thing about, do you think Georgia could do it again this year?
I do. Cool. I mean, they're going to be the favorite. It's extremely difficult. I was about to give you all the cliches that you already know, but I definitely think they can do it, yes.
Okay. Now, let me ask you something, Paul. We're trying to watch you on TV, and we got a baseball show on. What is going on?
We should be on in a minute, so don't go anywhere. So, Geraldine, let me ask you a question here.
Okay.
You two sound like you're fascinating people. How long have you two been married?
Too long.
About 25, over 20.
Oh, about 30 years.
About 30 years.
Off and on.
Well, I mean, you know that famous joke. The guy got up and said, "My wife and I have been married for 28 years, and 12 of them have actually been pretty exciting."
No, when I say off and on, because we lived together, you know, and when we dated and everything, we were like high school.
Right.
Yeah.
He loved me. I didn't want any part of him.
Hey, Paul.
Hold on. Hey, Joel. Joel, wait your turn.
Okay, go ahead.
Geraldine. Geraldine, yeah. you left me with a very important follow-up question. You did not want any part of him, and now 30 years later, you're married to him, so you need to explain how that happened.
Okay, because he was being a bad boy. He would go out and meet other people, then he'd come and see me, and I'm like, I'm not having any part of that. And Paul, and let me tell you something. When we finally decided to, I forget what I used to call it. When we finally decided to, merge, I think it was, you know, where we got the checking accounts and all that kind of good stuff a long time ago. I tell you, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. He's my best friend. He's such a good man. I love him so much. I have very low vision. I haven't drove since 1998, and we are always constantly together. We work together. We
eat, sleep,
and you know what together. You know what I mean?
Hold on. I'm thinking about doing a book on YouTube now. This is very interesting.
Oh, it is. Everybody that sees us, Paul, hold on. Let me talk to everybody that sees us. If they don't see me with him, they'll go, "Where's the other half?" And he'll say, "She's getting her hair cut," or da 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 da. You know what I mean?
Well, you are. This is great. We have finally found ourselves a good Friday story here.
Yeah. Hey, Paul. This is what I always say. It is what it is, and it is what you make of it.
Well, I've been married 32 years, so I have some indication of what you're talking about.
Yes.
Can I get a word in here?
I don't know about that, Joe. You've been married 30 years. What's the odds of you getting a word in now?
Talking about dog fitting. We were looking forward to seeing Arch Bishop, and we saw the Auburn game on, and we're all upset.
No, it's
yeah, well, the
be
game,
on.
The, well, the game's going long. That's why you haven't seen the Archbishop yet.
Joel gets nervous when he talks to you. I don't care. I don't get nervous. You're just a person to me. You know what I mean? I mean, you're a nice person and a great person, and you look. I don't know how
you're
you
looking
look.
Good right now.
Well, we don't know how you're looking right now because we can't see you. But
we love you.
We love Cat Daddy, and congratulations, Cat Daddy. That was very good. We also like, what's his name?
Legend. We love Legend.
We love Legend. Even though he's from Alabama. He loves Alabama.
Well, I love that book, Paul. It seems like it gets better and better.
You have made my day because when you write a book and it goes into the trash bin for most people, it's always great to hear somebody remember you.
No, his godson. I mean, our godson got it for us. He's not really our godson. We kind of adopted him because if anything happens to us, everything's going to go to him. And he kind of like if Joel has to go get surgery or something done, you know, like he had to have his thyroid taken out last June. It was terrible. It was really, really rough. It's been rough, and he's not been the same. And if people can just say some prayers for my lovely husband Joel to help him get better, I would really be grateful. Really.
Hey, we'd like to talk to the Archbishop.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you guys call back later, and we'll set you up with Archbishop Marino. Anyway, we're heading to a break right now. More of your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And welcome back. And we promised you that we were going to talk to Eddie Connors, who... I believe is 95. Now we'll find out as we say hello to Eddie here on a Friday afternoon. Eddie, good afternoon. So when is your birthday?
Paul's on April 9th, a date to live in infamy.
So we're
the reason being is the South surrendered to the North on April 9th, 1865.
That is correct.
At Appomattox.
That's a pretty famous date.
I was there.
I thought I saw you at Appomattox. You were helping. You were helping.
Some
General
guy named Lee. I can't remember his first name.
Robert.
Yeah, Robert E.
You live in Alabama and you didn't know his middle name. That's his first and middle name. That's pretty hard to imagine. So I've never talked to anyone 95. So the obvious question: what does it feel like?
Paul, I tell you, that's good as truth. I feel about as good as I've ever felt, and I don't really know what to associate with. I did talk to Dr. Andrews, you know, the famous doctor.
Sure.
He was at practice one day, and we were talking about age when I told him. He said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I walk about I walked 5 days a week of 18 holes of golf, and he was really taking, well, you couldn't do anything better for yourself than that. So hopefully that has something to do with it. But as far as feeling, I feel about as good as I've ever felt.
Now, do you actually...
Hey, I got a deal for you and me, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. In the 1943, in the Tuscaloosa High School, I was playing football. I was in the 10th grade. And after a stint in the Navy, I came back. I got into high school officiating. Then I got into the Gulf South Conference. I worked games in Thibodaux, Louisiana, Tennessee, Martin, so forth like that. And I worked out of my practice for 6 years. My point being is that I've probably seen more snaps than anybody in the history of the world. And you have talked to more people, agents and radio people and television people. So you and I should write a book called Football On and Off the Field. How about that?
Well, Eddie, I would enjoy that. I've been looking for a good book project, and I think you now can you give me 1 second, Eddie. I gotta say hello to some more people here.
Okay.
Okay, a lot of you have been watching baseball, and it's been quite an exciting game and controversial, to say the least. We are talking here with Eddie Conyers as we begin this portion of our program. And Eddie will celebrate his 95th birthday, and he was trying to sell me on a book idea. Keep going, Eddie.
Well, as soon as my attorney, Buckethead Bailey, gets out of jail, I'm going to have him get in touch with your legal team, and we'll work something out.
Eddie, I tell you what, I've heard a lot of, when you're in my position, people always think they've got an interesting story to tell you. And of all the interesting stories that I've been pitched on a book, yours is easily the most recent.
Well, Paul, I really think you and I are in a kind of a unique situation. I just can't imagine anybody having seen more football. I don't mean I know that much about it, but I certainly have seen it, and you have certainly talked it, and do a fantastic job, by the way. And so it would be something we could do, and as soon as old Buckethead gets out of jail,
yeah, okay.
we'll get our legal teams together.
Let me ask you this. The most salient question I have for you, though, Eddie, is how long is he in for, and what's the chance of him getting out in – forget your lifetime, my lifetime.
Well, Paul, he did a silly thing. He was actually drunk in court, and he called the judge a communist. And three times, by the way.
That's not smart in Alabama. Eddie, for those who don't know, and I've had the fortune of knowing you some time now. I met you years ago and at a very when you were entertaining the masses. Yeah. You've done a lot of great things in your life, but you've been an official at Alabama practices now. What was your first year now again?
1962. Brian came in 58, and I started in 62. And by the way, I went today. We had scrimmage today at the stadium.
Okay, so since we get no information from the media who covers Alabama football, they all say the same thing. We don't know. They don't tell us anything. What can you tell us, Eddie, without losing your job at the age of 95 and nearly 70 years into this gig? Can you give us any insight into what's happening?
The only answer I could say would be nothing.
I tried.
No, Paul, as long as Coach Saban is here, I really believe he could take you and me and maybe I-Man and Legend and Cat Daddy and worked with us a couple of weeks, we'd win two games in the SEC.
That is amazing.
He's just a master coach.
Who was more concerned about information getting out? Coach, I'm going to give you three names. Coach Saban, Coach Stallings, or Coach Bryant?
Paul, I would say Coach Saban.
Really?
Yeah, I really would. And you mentioned three totally fine coaches. It's been a real honor to be associated with it. I worked with Coach Bryant nearly 20 years, and I doubt seriously if he knew my name. But he just wanted an official at his practices, and I just happened to be the one that was there. But it's quite an honor, and I'm humbled by it, really.
We know so much about Coach Saban, but for younger people, we don't know that much about Coach Bryant. But you got a chance to see him in a way that very few of us did. What made him so unique?
Paul, I remember one day, I hope you have time for this. One day at practice, we were doing a defensive emphasis drill where he wanted a down lineman to split a double team block and play the block of a back coming up and then make a tackle behind the line of scrimmage. And the boy wasn't doing too well. And we heard what we called in those days the chain hit the tower, which meant that Coach Bryant was coming down out of his tower, and you could hear it. When that chain hit the tower, you could hear it all the way from Tuscaloosa to Gordo. Everybody, he was, and he questioned this boy rather sincerely. The boy got emotional. Coach Bryant went over and actually hugged him and said, "I know you can do this." And the boy said, "Yes, I can." Well, anyway, make a long story short, he got down in his four-point stance, and I never will forget, it was like he was in a zone. They snapped the ball. He split the double team block, played the block of the fullback off, and then made the tackle by 15 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And he looked up, and Coach Bryant was walking off the field. And this guy ran to him, and with the, like, "Is that what you want, you know?" And I never will forget, Coach Bryant looked at him, and he said, "Son, you don't understand. That's what I want every time." And I think he took people of maybe marginal abilities, 90% abilities, kicked him up to 110%, and the 110% was not rhetoric. He really meant that. And if you do that every time, you could take people like you and me and Cat Daddy and win a ball game.
Okay, so which brings me to the obvious question, the bookend of that, because they're on the same plane in terms of championships and prowess. How would then you describe the genius of Nick Saban, having seen him hundreds, if not thousands, of times in practice?
I saw a documentary, a brief documentary about him, about his life in West Virginia. And the thing came up, but his daddy, they ran a filling station. They said his daddy came out one day after he'd asked Coach Saban to wash a car. He saw a spot on it, and he made him redo it. I think Coach Saban believes you do things right. Now, that may sound trivial, but that's exactly, you do everything right. If he wanted his defensive back to play on the outside of a receiver, pardon me, and the guy happened to be playing on the inside of the receiver and would intercept a pass or turn to a touchdown, Coach Saban would chew him out first for not being in the right position. You just do things right. Now, that may sound kind of trivial.
You know, Eddie, I always heard him talk about once that instead of telling the players a thousand things one time, he'd rather tell them one important thing a thousand times so they learn the basic fundamentals.
You're exactly right. You do things right. Now, that here again may sound so elementary, but everybody doing everything right, it's kind of difficult to beat people like that. And Coach Saban is the very best at doing that. He's well, the GOAT of officials. I mean, a GOAT of coaches.
Well, Eddie, as we close down here, again, for those just joining us, Eddie will celebrate. I just thought of something, Eddie. You're celebrating your 95th birthday on Easter. I don't want to get religious here because we have an archbishop coming out, but there's something I'm sure we could draw into that you will be celebrating this event on one of the most sacred days of the year.
Paul, you've found out, so I'll have to admit it. No, Paul, you're letting it out 95 now. I'm in big trouble now. I told a girl at the bar the other night I was 21.
So you're forcing me to ask the obvious question, and I feel like there's a joke here somewhere, or maybe there's the joke's on me for asking it, but what does a 90 95-year-old do to celebrate his birthday?
Well, I tell you what, Budweiser's going to have an awful lot to do with it.
Well, I you know how much we love you here, and this conversation may end briefly now, but it will continue forever because we feel that strongly about you, Eddie. Happy birthday from all of us here and from everybody in the country that is a fan of yours. You be well, and let's have many, many more.
Thank you, Paul. Y'all do a fantastic job, and it's so nice of you to call. Let me recognize my birthday. Thank you again.
The great Eddie Conyers, and if you were feeling old, just think about Eddie. He sounds better than all of us as we roll on here on a Friday. It is Good Friday. We'll talk to the Archbishop in the final hour. Your phone calls around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey, welcome back. We are here on a Friday afternoon. It is Good Friday, and I realize this, some of you have been coming and going. What we're going to do in the final hour, we'll have Archbishop Marino on about 6:15. Before that, we're going to have an interview with Hugh Freeze, getting ready for the Auburn spring game. So a busy final hour here on the program. Let's check in with Ricky in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about Mississippi State, and I heard about the, you know, I've been hearing lately about the spring games and how they're you know, kind of insignificant. But before I ask that, before I talk about that, though, Paul, when I'm waiting, you know, to be on, you know, you know I'm an old blues drummer, you know, so, but who is that's coming out? I don't know if that's Terry Bozzio or not, but I'd like to know who that is that's playing on that.
That's
if I can get that information.
Yeah, I'll see if we can find that answer out for you. You're asking the least informed person on the program, so I'll defer to the smarter people in the other room.
Yeah. So, but anyway, as a fan that's not able to go and, you know, to the game itself, but I'm interested in what we have, you know, because we got a new coach, new coordinator, and then as fans that we, you know, we want to see what the team looks like, and at least I do. I want to see, you know, the new players that's coming in, because to me the spring game is even more important nowadays because of the portal, and so they have to implement so many different things every single year. So I just think the spring game is. To me, I look forward to it. And by the way, when is the spring game for Mississippi State?
I believe is it next weekend or the week after? It's next Saturday, a week from Saturday.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's my take on it. I've been hearing a lot about that, so I don't know, you know, what other fans think about it. For me as a fan, I just even though we may feel like it's a little delusional of our team area, but that's everybody. You know, they always have these high expectations for the team, and it can, you know, it could be a little misleading sometimes, you know, because how good they look. It doesn't matter at all in the spring game but it does help the players, I think, you know, to get implemented with the new program or whatever. So I think it's a good thing. That's just me personally.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Ricky, thank you. I think it means something different for everyone. But mostly it's just it's a nugget of information, and we all get to chew on it and try to make something out of it, whether it's justified or not. Thank you very, very much for your call. Let's check in with Myth in Kentucky. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I got two quick questions for you. I thought about this today. Who has, and I'm going to test you a little bit because I know you'll probably know the answer. Who has the most SEC wins as a coach besides Paul or Bear Bryant?
The most? I'm not even going to think about it. Answer it for me.
Steve Spurrier comes in second.
Did not know that. Yeah, you would think it had to be somebody with longevity, so that's a good answer.
And another person that kind of surprised me was, well, he didn't really surprise me, but Philip Fulmer.
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I mean, obviously, it's got to be somebody that coached a long time. It also has to be somebody who won a lot. So, yeah, that's and as you get into the Fulmer Spurrier era, you're talking about now eight conference games a year versus when Bryant coached, it was probably six conference games. I mean, I don't know what those stats mean, but that's interesting, and I'm not all that surprised. Thank you for the call. Miles is up next. Good afternoon to you.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm on the air. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm a lifelong Alabama football fan, and I have two big questions. So I'm wondering first, how do you think losing Bill O'Brien's going to affect the Alabama offense? Because I think it could be real bad.
Well, let's state the obvious. People got fed up with him, didn't like him, and I think we gave the impression that it was all his fault. It wasn't. Would I take Bill O'Brien over Tommy Rees? Yes, I would.
All right. I was also wondering, who would you personally say is the most attractive coach in the SEC right now?
I don't mean to ask you to qualify that, but I will. In terms of what?
Like, you know, just conventionally attractive, like handsome.
Well, I think the answer is obvious. It's Kirby Smart because, you know, he's got the longest runway ahead of him, and he's got, Saban speaks for itself, but Saban has a limited upside in terms of how many more years he will be there.
Good point.
Now, I think the better question is, if I could ask you, which coach let's move Kirby Smart, for those coaches who don't have a national championship, who do you think will have the most in the next 10 years?
Probably Hugh Freeze, because I think Freeze is a pretty cool name personally.
Do you think Hugh Freeze is going to? By the way, anyone who scoffs at your answer does not follow Auburn football very closely. Auburn has had a chance to win a national championship in football in the '80s, somewhat in the '90s, even though they were on probation, and obviously since then Tuberville nearly won one. And Chizik did, and Gus Malzahn almost did. It's a place that you can win a national championship. Speaking of Hugh Freeze, we'll hear from him at the top of the hour, the Archbishop after that, and we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we have a jam-packed final hour here on this Good Friday. Hugh Freeze and Archbishop Marino. Gil is up next in Louisiana. Hey, Gil.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, this is Gil.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, you want me to talk?
I would love for you to. Yeah, you're on the air.
Well, I really had wanted to. I had two things I wanted to tell the head man, but he's not on that right now. One was a story about Bear Bryant, but it's a longer story.
Yeah.
The other part of it was to admonish the head guy and tell him it is through his personality and his fantastic ability to cultivate people, that he built that program into what it had become, which was the best sports talk show in America. Everybody knew that. That's what carried that whole program.
Well, Gil, you're talking. This is Paul here, so you're talking to me.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to tell him he sold us down the river when they hooked up with ESPN. ESPN is an abomination. It's all about making money. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with the SEC ball or anybody else or any other factors having to do with real good college athletics.
Well, Gil, if I could respond to that, you're welcome to feel however you would like about ESPN.
Yeah, I understand.
Except ESPN was the partner in the SEC network 9 years ago that lifted this thing off the air. They're an equal partner.
But it was a much lesser party.
No. It's a 50-50 partnership.
Well, whatever.
Well, I mean, it's
the guy
facts.
Carrying the load was Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum is the man who made all of that stuff.
Oh, okay. Well, by the way, on that part, I agree with you. So.
Well, really, he was just terrific.
No.
And I was hoping I'd like to hear him do something that I believe is really super important. I have 4 degrees, 2 from LSU, 2 from the University of Florida. I'm an emeritus retired professor from Texas A&M.
Okay.
I dislike the fact that the whole network is too quick to play the record of college sports wagging the tail of the dog. The universities in America really did so much to build America into what it is. They deserve a better shake than tearing down professors, tearing down university personnel, college presidents, things like that. Mm-hmm. More attention needs to be given to the academic side of what goes on in the colleges and universities. And you can do that without selling any athletics short.
Okay.
You can do that.
Gil, we have a very limited amount of time here. Why don't we do this? Let's continue this conversation next week, if you wouldn't mind, and we'll have more time to flesh out some of your points. But you raise a couple of good points, and I appreciate it. The Archbishop final hour, Coach Hugh Freeze, calm Good Friday. It's a very serene, solemn day. And let's stay in Louisiana. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, man, nobody want to hear about no Gil. So you should have big click off of Gil. Hey, check this out, Paul. You talking about, you should have told them people the truth. You up there on that stage talking all that crap. You should have told them Brian Kelly going to win more games in 10 years. Brian Kelly going to win more games in 10 years, Paul, you know that. You know that.
Well, Dwayne, I don't know that because I don't think Brian Kelly has 10 years.
Yeah, you do. You got, what do you think? You're going to win the championship and you're going to just leave us?
No, I don't see Brian Kelly coaching for 10 more years.
Yeah, he don't come longer than Nick Saban. You know what you think Nick Saban got? 2-3 more years left for him?
I would say that would be accurate, yes.
Huh?
Yeah.
But Brian Kelly's going to have about close to 10 years. He'll have about 10 years left. He's going to do 10 years and win by 4 national championships at LSU. Four national championships.
Dwayne, you're talking about a guy that has never won a national championship. He's lost in a national championship game.
Ed Orgeron never won one either.
A couple of times, but he won one.
Huh?
Where did he win one?
Ed Orgeron never won one, but he won one.
Hey, Dwayne, don't quote me on this, but I could win the national championship with Joe Burrow.
I'll
say something even crazier than that. Dwayne could win the national championship with Joe Brady and Joe Burrow. Dwayne, you.
Man, me too. I could have coached the team. I could have did that.
Ed Orgeron could have taken the year off, and he still would have won. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.